As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to the TIFO Football Podcast. I am Joe Devine. And I'm delighted to be joined today by JJ Bull the Bullard.
Hello.
All right there?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Very well.
Very well.
Very good. Informed today.
Yes, you are. How much football did you watch over the weekend?
Quite a lot. As you know, I took it very seriously. So
yes.
I've watched an awful lot. I mean, it does dig into your actual personal time. But thankfully, I was able to consume the appropriate amount of football to prepare adequately to give a podcast of value.
Yes, zero football. Now, also welcome today by Jonathan Dog McKenzie.
You just say I'm welcomed by.
Did I say I'm
welcoming anyone?
Did I say I'm welcomed by?
It'd be funny if he was like, he had forgotten his name. He's like, this guy.
This guy. Smecky McGee number one.
Yeah, he woofs for me.
That's true. Woof for me?
Woof.
Oh, that's. I didn't really feel it in the way that I normally do. But you stick around. Does things to me. It's woof does things to me. Also, we got Steve Hankey and Jamie, the long-legged video producer.
Like a spider.
Through the window.
What's a long-legged video?
What's a long-legged video?
Yeah.
It's an evergreen video. Oh. A video you can watch 5 years later. Much like the new season of the TIFO Football Podcast, which will, of course, start, John McKenzie, near the beginning of July. There'll be when we finish, we've got 2 weeks left after this one of studio shows. We've got our live shows, and then there's a bit of a break throughout July for us to recuperate and restore and plan. And near the beginning of July, we will launch the new incarnation of the TIFO Football Podcast, which will be long-legged. So mm-hmm. If you don't check it out then, and you think, oh, I'm really unhappy that they're cancelling the podcast, and John's my least favourite member, and what you're saying it will be sounds like the thing I'm least interested in. Don't worry about checking it out in July, because you can listen to it in December when you realise that you were wrong and an idiot. Yeah? That's you. I'm talking about you. Now, we spoke about so much today, gang, didn't we? Actually, that's not true. But there are things here I have to say that we did speak about. How heavy does a bath need to be for it to fall through a ceiling? Remember that? Very long time ago.
Yeah.
We talked about
that.
But
in the podcast, it'll be quite soon.
Yeah, it'll be very soon in the podcast. Man City, of course, won the Premier League. So we talk a bit about them and their season, their team. Is it the best one ever? Is there a large asterisk attached to that success? We discuss that. And John delivers a potent monologue about probably about 30 minutes in, maybe a little bit less than that.
30 minutes long.
Stick around. It's the 30-minute long and 30 minutes in monologue. Very interesting there. But listen to all of it before you form your opinion about what he thinks. The most interesting Bundesliga title race in over a decade. I don't know if it is that, but it is one that Bayern might not win after the weekend. So we discuss that too. Although, JJ, no care. Why don't you care about the Bundesliga?
In the same way you don't care
also,
about
Also, we talked
Scottish
about
football.
What percentage of humans are made of water. I think we all know it's 70%, but is that even true?
It's not 70, it's way more than that.
On average, it's 53% water, I believe.
Is it 53%?
It's like 97.
Well, that's what the running order says.
70 is like the popular fact number. Let's find out.
Hang on.
I think Steve's just put it in there.
How much water is
it's
in a
literally,
human?
Steve
they don't said believe
on
you,
average,
Steve. They
it's
literally
53%
don't believe
water.
You.
Well, it depends how much water you've drunk, I guess.
Yeah, that's the worst thing on average.
Yeah.
If I just drink nothing but water for
did
an
you,
hour.
Did you really think you were 97% water? Because that would mean if I touched you, you would explode.
You'd be like...
Well, no, it's just, yeah, it's been, I'm very viscous.
Yeah, you are quite viscous. I often wonder...
Have I used that the right way?
When you walk around in the office, I can always tell you've been here because you leave a trail of water behind you, just dripping off your back.
I do that, yeah. Much like the creature that was in the documentary I watched yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to tell people about that? Actually, no, because this is a huge and influential podcast, and we don't get to give out that kind of... I think we should double think about whether we want to promote what you watched.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
Because it may well not be true.
Very possible. Yeah,
it's very possible.
But in another,
you could say
more
you
exciting
watched
way.
An alien documentary.
Well, not the alien documentary. No. I watched a documentary about something that many people believe may have happened in Brazil in 1986.
Aliens.
Well, not, you don't know that something happened.
Yeah. That's often the premise of alien documentaries, is that we don't know that they're aliens, but something happened.
Yeah.
But you enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was called Aliens 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Electric Boogaloo. You enjoyed it, and you watched it.
Aliens 2, Electric Boogaloo,
instead
yeah.
of watching football.
The dance,
you?
I don't like how they put all these like things at the credits of movies where they all dance to a dance song at the end.
You don't like it when they dance to a dance song?
No, especially at the end of Aliens 2.
They do that at the beginning of the end of the Star Wars one, don't they?
Yeah, with the Ewoks.
But they got rid of it, didn't they?
I think they've reinstated it. Okay. Yeah, there were bits cut from it, I believe.
I think it's Shrek popularized it. It's just to keep everyone like to manufacture their emotion at the end of a movie. So like, I had a great time.
Yeah, I like it.
Do you?
Well, yeah, in the end with that Shrek when they're singing that song and all
I
dancing.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I like it, man.
And the animation looks all weird, and they always use these little things where someone jumps in front of camera and slides in front of you for a cheap joke.
I like it.
It's not... No, they shouldn't... You don't need that. I think at the end of Dumb and Dumber, they don't have that, do they? They just
But Dumb and Dumber isn't as good as Shrek.
Come on.
Because it doesn't have a dance at the end.
You mean that as well, don't you?
I do mean that. I've seen... Come on, mate.
Shrek, that's unbelievable.
Listen... I'll give you that we could have an argument about it and both sides would be legitimate, but to describe it as unbelievable that Shrek is in the conversation with Dumb and Dumber is just wrong.
It's just wrong. Dumb and Dumber is clearly...
I think we need to get a poll in the YouTube. Can we do it? No, it's only in the community post, isn't it? Maybe we'll... Well, anyway, respond in the comments, people, on YouTube. And if you're listening to us on another streaming platform, Spotify or whatever, head over to the YouTube. Leave your comment below. I really, really feel strongly that Shrek is a better film than... I think Dumb and Dumber is a fantastic film, but Shrek is a masterpiece.
I wonder if our slight difference in age is very small. It plays into that.
No, I watched Dumb and Dumber...
How old were you when Shrek came out?
I don't know what years things came out. Let's look.
Dumb and Dumber is 1994, and Shrek is...
2001.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fairly significant difference in release time there.
Yeah.
But I would have watched Dumb and Dumber around the same time. Like, I would have watched Dumb and Dumber in the late 90s, and I would have watched Shrek when it came out in the early 2000s. Mm. But I have very fond feelings about... I have fond, nostalgic childhood feelings about both films.
Mm.
And I feel that Shrek is the superior film. What do you think, John?
I literally don't give a shit.
In that case, I leave you in the warm hands and the cool embrace.
Oh, read The Athletic.
I forgot about that.
You don't get
Hey,
shit.
Do you want to do The Athletic ad? Because you don't care about this cultural conversation we're having. So maybe if you want to do the boring bit, what do you think?
Well, the only link is if you don't give a shit, then...
No, you don't need to do it like I do it. Imagine this is a practice for you hosting the podcast after our break when we come back. What kind of ad would you do then for The Athletic? My thing is that I go, oh, it's like this. It's not funny.
That's exactly how you sound.
The reason it's
your
funny
is
because it's stupid everywhere. So what's your thing? You can have your own thing. You don't need to
segue. Well, I think we should take this time to recommend to our listeners The Athletic website.
Why do you think that?
Because we're contractually obliged to do so.
We're not.
Well, then we'll do it out of the goodness of our hearts then.
Right, yeah. But how would you recommend it? Come on, you got to take this seriously because, hey, listen.
Why am I being made to do this now?
There are tens of thousands of people that listen to this podcast. In fact, if you add the YouTube numbers together, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people.
That's a lot.
Who rely on your clear and reasonable recommendation of athletic content. And they're going to rely on it on a weekly basis. And, hey, no fun. We're not having fun anymore.
Okay.
This is very serious. Advertise The Athletic immediately.
And if you have enjoyed the serious conversation that we have had so far, then there is nothing better than for you to do than to head over to The Athletic to check out some of the articles
he messed
that they
up
have
when
there.
He was talking. He messed it up.
And what do you mean I messed
up? You said a word in the wrong place and that you're about to pit start. Do it again. One more time. Yeah. You got it.
I believe in you. And if you value serious cultural conversation about dumb and dumber, then all I can do is recommend to you The Athletic's website. Go to www.theathletic.com/tifo. https://www. That's the period button if you're in America. Press that button and that will get you there. And there's plenty of really interesting pieces on The Athletic that you can peruse. Joe, what have you read on The Athletic recently that you think is interesting?
I read a really, really interesting article by David Ornstein all about why Shrek is the better film than Dumb and Dumber. And David, as you know, is one of the best connected journalists in the industry. He brings incredible news stories on a weekly basis. And you really learn a lot by reading his work. And that's how you know you can trust that Shrek is the better film.
But you see, the thing is, because often journalists get these things wrong, and an audience does until later, when the people who really can see through the smoke screens and nonsense can see through to the real charm and the quality of a film, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, Dumb and Dumber is one example, but like The Last Jedi... in the Star Wars franchise, the second of the new films that they're making, it was torn apart by many who said it's absolutely terrible. And it's proven, as I think, to be one of the best ones in the entire series.
Yeah. It's withstood the test of time.
They sort of ruined it with the third one. We've been through this before. But that's an example where I don't think it really got reviewed very well, nor did people think it was good, because they just do what they're told, don't they, the people?
Yeah, but everyone thought Dumb and Dumber was good.
I know.
So what are you talking about?
That's what I was talking about, how that movie, how I was right about that.
Oh. Anyway, you might as well hand it over to the, let's see what it'd be like.
Oh,
now
so we have to leave it in the cool.
No, that's my thing. You don't have to say
what
that.
What do I do now?
Whatever you want. You are unshackled. You have your own autonomy.
I've done all of my bits now.
Autonomous vehicle, man.
And so back over to Joe for his customary cool hands, warm embrace. Can we go home now, please?
What should I leave it in? And now I'll leave you in the warm hands and the cool embrace.
I feel as though this intro's been not that funny, so...
You're not into it.
Nothing we can do it.
You're not into it?
A general apathy. The cool hands and the warm embrace of general apathy. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I didn't think there was anything funny that we could latch on to.
Well, the good thing is that this is the last bit that'll be heard on the intro before it cuts into the actual music.
Well, Man City have won the Premier League, haven't they there? Haven't they? Who'd have thought it? The inevitable. And now let's not go back to the immovable object versus the immovable object. That was a tiresome conversation, wasn't it? But the team with all the good players and the good coach.
You could call them the unstoppable force, couldn't you?
The unstoppable force team were not able to be stopped by the very movable object that turned out to be Arsenal. After 36 games played, Man City on 88 points there, a 7-point gap. They've already claimed the Premier League trophy, John. Bit of an assessment of their season, please, because it wasn't always so smooth sailing, was it?
No, the thing with Manchester City is they always come into their own right at the end of the seasons, don't they? And that was what's happened this season. I feel as though the story of the season is Pep Guardiola fixing problems, and maybe an interesting angle that we haven't talked about yet. Well, maybe we have talked about it, but is the fact that, often the conversation about Manchester City is about the squad that they have and the fact that they have very good players. But actually, I feel as though the difference between, for example, this season, Mikel Arteta and Pep Guardiola has been that Pep Guardiola has made the squad work in a system that fits the players, whereas with Arteta, we've seen them have the same starting 11 for most of the first part of the season. And then when the changes came in, I think largely kept the...
Sorry, James Richardson was on this chair before because he recorded Totally, and he's a fair bit shorter than me, so I was just putting the chair down a little bit there.
I thought the ground had finally given up below you.
I've been waiting for that day. Yeah. Do you know I do? I creep around in old houses, and I'm afraid.
Sorry, you mean you creep around in old houses?
I'm afraid when I use a bath, if a bath on it, because you think about the weight of a bath, and then if you add me to it, it's like, surely this is going to go through
it's
the floorboards.
Like 10 baths.
You see those films where someone goes through the floorboards in their bath?
How much do you weigh compared to a bath?
Compared to a bath. With full water of bath. A full bath of water.
Are you heavier in the bath? No.
I'm heavier than you are in the bath. I'm not heavier in the bath than I otherwise was.
Yeah, but there'd be less water in the bath if you're in it.
No,
what happens is that when you all have a bath, it fills to the same level. And
make you float, and therefore there'd be no
the
gravity.
The relative density of each of water versus humans is, but I bet it's probably not far off.
Do you know, I don't often have a bath. I'm not really a bather like yourself, John. But I have noticed it's a really good way of telling how fat you are is if you overpour the water like to a normal person's level in a bath, and then you get in it and like there's just nowhere for the water to go.
That's how
just nowhere. Like I fill a bath. Every bit of the bath is touched by me. You know, there's no bit of bath that's not being touched by me somewhere.
Do you need someone to stand over you with like a hose to make sure you get covered?
I think that would be like, you know how when they transport a free willy back to the ocean?
A beached whale. And they've just got...
That's true. That's how I travel. They strap me to the back of a lorry and they hose me as we're going. It's good because I need to keep cool.
Yeah, it's good. You know. Which films have people falling?
I don't know, but it's a thing, isn't it? It happens.
Is it?
Yeah,
there was the bath
films,
fallers.
So. Don't tell me this because I do
bath fallers too.
I fell through the bath.
Honey, I
fell through the bath.
Through the roof in my bath. They did three or four versions of that.
Jurassic
one.
Bath.
Yeah.
That's now we're on Quora, which you all know is a very reliable website. Do bathtubs ever fall through the floor? Danny Clark says, well, not really. In order for something that large to fall through the floor, it would have to fall through the floor joists as well as the floorboards. That's the thing you always remember, the joists are the security. But
well, that makes
it has
feel
happened.
A lot safer.
Yeah, I bet if like the floor was rotting because it's all damp and stuff, that's
well,
how it felt.
And this
through.
Is when I first started to worry about it. I used to live in a flat above a bank. This is true. And beneath our bathroom and kitchen was the safe, like the whole back room of the bank.
You'd have been fine then, surely.
Would have been, no. So the issue is, we used to get calls from the bank, like, I don't know, once every 6 months to say there's a massive leak in our safe again. I love the idea that we were just like getting our bathwater all over their money. But the flat was owned by the bank as well. Right. We were leasing it from them. And there was one time where a particular, I don't know, bit of plug was missing, whatever. You know, the things that, what do they say? They screw them on to, you know, underneath the screw. You know, the screw, when you put the screw on, that it's got a washer. There was not a washer there. And underneath the bath, in the space beneath, had like sort of basically filled big puddles of water for months.
Yeah.
And when the guy came, he lifted the side of the bath off, and he was like, "Oh yeah, all these floorboards are fucked." You know. So eventually, the joists also would have become damp, and
you would have fallen onto the safe, which is presumably fairly well protected.
Well, and that's why the bank cared, because I think they were like, "We don't, you know, this would be an embarrassing way to have a bank robbery." A bathing
you'd
man
have fallen
just
through,
took some money.
You'd have fallen through the roof, but on the plus side, you
I'm
would
taking
have,
this from my ceiling.
Become fabulously rich.
I would have done, yeah.
The floor fell through in one of my bathrooms once.
Did
I was
it?
Living in a house in Stoke Newton. Yeah, it was really funny. But no one was in at the time, so that was fine. But it was a washer was loose in the sink upstairs, so the whole thing had fallen through.
Oh, your ceiling or your floor?
So it was a lovely like 4-bedroom house, one of these things in Stoke Newington. So like the floor fell through it, a huge massive noise, and I think one of my friends came in, saw the whole thing, was like, he didn't know it had fallen through, just came in and it was just full of all rubble, and he went, "What did you eat?"
My roof fell in when I was at uni. That was quite scary in my bedroom. I was lying in bed on a Saturday morning and there was this sort of like crinkling sound and I was like, what on earth is that sound? And then a quarter of the ceiling just dropped.
Wow.
Holy.
And it was like old lath and plaster. So it was just like proper chunks of stone.
And then after that, Joe fell on.
Yeah, and Joe
rolled around.
A naked Joe in my bedroom.
Amusingly, my ceiling fell in at university as well on account of how poorly I performed academically, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, but you eventually broke through that
my
ceiling,
metaphorical ceiling. What, to get here?
Yeah, look at you now.
No, come on, mate. Come on. I should be at NASA. Yeah? Are you allowed to be at NASA if you're not American? That's just the president, isn't it? You could be at NASA if you are.
You can be from anywhere, I think, to work for NASA.
To work at NASA.
They want the best of the best, don't they? Because they're going to get us to.
They got all the Germans, didn't they? Back
NASA.
In the day. Yeah, NASA.
Yes.
No, you know this? You know, read about this before?
Yeah.
A lot of German scientists.
Cross-pollination of ideas.
Cross-pollination of ideas, yeah. In fact, many of the greatest inventions and explorations of the 20th and 21st centuries put down to that cross-pollination. Mm. Bit of a tricky, murky area.
Nothing says innovation like a world war.
Oh, yeah, what were we talking about?
We were talking about Manchester City, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And I was saying that Manchester City's season has been basically determined by Pep Guardiola finding the best 11 players, the best structure to fit those best 11 players in his squad.
Yeah.
Whereas with Arteta, it feels a little bit more like the tactics have been relatively set in stone.
Is that a reflection of like how far through those cycles those teams and coaches are, right? Because to a certain extent, what Guardiola, how he solved his Man City problems was still in quite a Man City way, right? You know, he's still like the bulk of his players can do whatever he wants them to. As opposed to Arsenal who like have, you know, theoretically like half or more of the squad were either predated Arteta or weren't there for that system.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but I also kind of think that the changes that City have gone through are quite big. They were building up with a completely different shape last season, and they obviously brought in Haaland and things changed, and I guess the whole of this season has been an attempt to solve the problem of what happens when you have a traditional nine, when you've had like a false nine for years and years and years, or you played in that sort of way. And I think this is why we've mentioned this before in the last couple of weeks, so I won't dwell on it too much, but it's why Guardiola is so good at what he does, because he's constantly able to innovate and is able to solve the problems that his squad presents him. Mm. Whereas I feel like with Arteta, I think Arteta has changed things. Like obviously the first half of the season, they were able to play with that fairly settled 11. In the second half of the season, they did try and solve some problems. So they bring in players like Trossard and they bring in a player like Jorginho.
Yeah.
That is an attempt to start, you know, finding solutions to those problems. But at this point, it hasn't really worked out. Whereas I feel like with Guardiola, it was almost the other way around. It was the conundrum was there from the beginning, and they've slowly worked to a situation where they've been able to play John Stones as a sort of holding midfielder who can drop back in between the lines in defensive transition. So, but this is what Pep does, right? They always sort of march towards the finish line because it feels like everything just aligns towards the end of the season.
Mm. I mean, do you think therefore, JJ, that means that people have been having the conversation already? Is this the best iteration of Pep's Man City? Is that a good question, or is that like, as John says, is it kind of context dependent? Right, like this is the best version for the problems they encountered this season.
Yes.
Or do you think when you add Haaland to it, it's just okay? Well, this is worlds different from last year.
I mean, obviously, that's quite difficult to answer. You can't really give a definitive one. But if you think what Guardiola said about Barcelona when he was there is that all he really did was build everything so he'd get the ball to Messi because Messi would then score. Mm. And he's talked about Haaland in similar terms and saying that he's one of these special players that will guarantee you loads of goals.
And he is.
So you get the ball to him in a certain right situation, you look after him, and you'll just win games because... Although it might sound like what Guardiola does is very complex, it's actually very simple. He just puts really good players on the pitch, make sure they have the environment and the structure to score and win and not concede goals, and they do.
Yeah.
And so this version of what he's managed to get is, like, it seems like the best version they've got because they have that special player in addition to what they had. Last year they were amazing with that 4-4-2, two false nines.
Yeah.
Controlled games, completely dominated it. The season they got 100 points, you could argue that was the best ever. But then the competition around them maybe got better. Perhaps not this season because they didn't have Liverpool against them. But then that Klopp team that won the league probably wasn't as good as the one that finished second to City the season before or after, whichever way we were and was.
Mm.
So I think it doesn't really matter.
If you were looking at the results alone,
yeah,
and obviously we're speaking prematurely because they haven't won the FA Cup yet and they haven't won the Champions League yet,
yeah,
you would assume they will win both of those games and win a treble. I mean, when we're looking back at football seasons years on in the future, presumably we say, well, this is the moment where it properly clicked.
Yeah, and you measure teams by the trophies that they win, right? Because you think of like the best ever Man United team was that 99 treble winning. It probably wasn't actually the best ever one, but it's because they achieved it, therefore they are. And when you look through history, there's that Captain Class book that I've talked about a few times before, where it looks through the best teams in the world were and what... they're the really successful ones, like the Chicago Bulls or something like that. So you've got... certain players who are in there who are the captain. So I don't know what I'm trying to really say here, but this Man City team is obviously one of the best we've ever seen in the Premier League. Mm. If they win the Champions League as well.
Who is the captain, by the way?
Gundogan.
Is it Gundogan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who, I don't know if he'd qualify for the water carrier role of it, because he's like he's like a really good player. Because normally it's a player that is actually quite limited technically, but is a really good, in this captain class thing I'm talking about, in case you don't know what about. But the thing that links all these players as a captain who has that, you can maybe say Fernandinho would have been back in the day. Maybe Gundogan does count. I don't know. Mm. What was the question?
Well, I'll move on anyway to say, you know, something I think is interesting about this Man City team, John, is that they don't really appear to do transitions in the way, you know, transitional seasons, I mean, in the way that lots of other elite teams do. And we had a conversation last week where we talked about every other elite team and where they are right now. Obviously, you know, in the context of Man City probably going to win the Champions League, very disrespectful to Inter fans to say that, but I will say that. I'm happy to be wrong. But if you think about, you know, where Barcelona are this season, sure, they've won La Liga, but they're not a hugely impressive team. They have insurmountable financial problems that are going to cause them issues, you know, numerous times this summer and probably next summer as well. Real Madrid are seemingly at the end of a bit of an epoch or an era. We've had conversations about whether they need to, you know, change their approach in terms of the selection of a new manager. Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea and Liverpool, miles off so far this season. Man United look like they're starting to rebuild, but they've been in that phase, you know, three times before, and it hasn't worked out in the post-Ferguson era. And then you look at the teams in Italy. Juve obviously suffered that points deduction, have had it reinstated, but they're still a million miles away. And PSG seem nowhere closer to winning the Champions League final, or probably further away than they did a few years ago. There's a massive absence of elite teams doing exactly what they're supposed to do at this time. And that's not to take away from Manchester City's achievement, but as far as I can see it, they're the only team that are doing what you would expect them to at the top of their game this season. And that seems really unusual.
Yeah, I think the thing with City, as you've said, is that they don't go through that cycle, right? It feels as though they are just constantly... Yeah. Or maybe it feels as though they go through it in the course of a season. Where
they went through it in the first half of the season and they're still winning the treble, right?
And I think that comes back to what we were saying before about the difference between Guardiola and Arteta. And I think Arteta will... He's a great manager and I think he will be on that Pep trajectory where he will be able to solve those problems as time goes by. And it's easy to forget that this is the first managerial appointment that he's had, so it's no slight on him. But what you usually get with clubs is a manager lands on a system that works with players that work in that system, and they burn that system, the players out in that system. And then what happens is they realise they've come to a point where they need to regenerate the squad, and it can be like, again, bringing in the sorts of players to fill in the slots in that system, maybe tweak the system slightly. Mm. But you have that rise and fall where you get everything working for a couple of seasons and then it drops off. And pretty much every Premier League team in the last few years who's done anything have done that. And I feel as though with Pep Guardiola, because he is so driven by this concept of we're never... you're only as good as your last win or whatever it is. He's constantly thinking, what's the next step? We can let players move on. We talked last week on the podcast about how the left-back position was quite interesting insofar as the City obviously had Zinchenko last season. They started this season with João Cancelo. By January, both those two players had gone. They were left with Sergio Gomez. And rather than that being an issue, Pep has used it to arrive at the system that he's arrived at now, where he's not playing left-backs. He's playing outside centre-backs. And actually, there was an interesting conversation with him on Sky yesterday after the game where he said, this season was the season where I realised that in order to overcome these dangerous battles with players like Saka or Salah or Martinelli or... he mentioned someone else, I can't remember who it was. But basically, these elite players who can cause you problems... He said, I found the solution here is to have players who win their 1v1 duels in that defensive unit. And
he's going to buy Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, maybe. But I think that's really fascinating, because he said in that interview, all it takes is one moment. It's Vinicius Junior, obviously, like the player who's caused him the most problems, I would say, in the last few seasons. But when you have a player like that, all it takes is two or three moments, and you're out of the Champions League. Mm. And so he's now moved... In the last season, I think, to the system now where he's got essentially five centre-backs in his build-up unit.
Yeah.
And we've seen them basically sail through the Champions League off the back of that. So
I think also if you go back to what you were saying about the players who left, you can say, you know, Zinchenko wants to go and start somewhere, fair enough. It doesn't appear to me that João Cancelo's departure was intentional or necessarily even foreseen, right? That was an odd one. So what you're actually saying is that Guardiola like makes a success out of like a potential issue, right? Mm. Like another manager might look at that as a crisis and then be saying at the end of the season, well, I had no control over that. These players left and, you know, whereas what he does is turn a possibly negative situation into a super, super positive one.
And Cancelo last season was a really big part of the way that they played. It would be like Manchester United losing Luke Shaw midway through a season.
Which
like
they do every 8 weeks, I think, for 8 weeks. But
Cancelo thing's interesting as well because it shows that it's not just the tactics of Guardiola, it's only a small part of it. It's also the man management and squad management that he does. Like one of his squad management, man management things is constant rotation of players. As in, they don't all play 38 games, they play maybe 24 with some subs. They rotate so they get a lot of the same games. And that was the issue with Cancelo, is that he wants to play every game. He came out of the World Cup, he'd been on the bench for the last two of Portugal's games, I think. So he's unhappy. This is on Sam Lee's piece about this whole season.
Right.
Excuse me. And he talks about how he came back unhappy from the World Cup, then he was in a bad mood, which you don't really want in your squad. And then wasn't starting for Man City, and it became this reciprocal thing where because he wasn't getting in the team, he was training badly. So because he was training badly, he wasn't getting in the team. Mm. And so it was becoming a nuisance. And so that's when they shipped him out to Bayern Munich because he wanted to trail play the game. So you go out, and that fixes a sort of bad atmosphere. And apparently that then made sure that any other players who had similar thoughts, like, why am I not starting every game? I should be. I'm amazing. They lost their ally. A Sir Alex Ferguson style thing of showing that you're the one in charge, so you cement your authority, and then they listen to what you say. And then there were some other bits about, I think it's Ruben Dias and Gundogan, I think it's those who had like team meetings, and they said that we need to make sure we're ruthless and we'll win all these games, and it's the players self-organized and motivated themselves.
Yeah.
Which again, you create the parameters for that to happen. That's how you then create that. The word for it is the galvanizing of the team.
Yeah,
so they
push
forward, and they didn't lose a game since the Forest one. They lost a Forest, or they drew a Forest, and then they
powered all the way through. I mean, it's funny you said about, you know, the rotation element. You'd be forgiven for thinking that when Manchester City played Chelsea this weekend and started a lot of younger players and a lot of bench players, that, you know, Mahrez amongst that starting 11, you'd be forgiven for thinking he wasn't hugely important this season. Like, he was hugely important. I mean, there are games within the last 3 months where he's been absolutely critical to them winning the title, but you'd be forgiven for not thinking that, right? Because of the extent of the rotation. And that's one of the best things. Obviously, they are afforded the ability to do that, and I am sure that people listening now are screaming into their phones, you know, what about the charges? What about the charges? Yeah, I fucking know. I know. We've talked about it loads before. I don't know what you want us to do. We have to wait for them to the appeal to occur. We have to talk about it as the facts. This is actually a thing that we're required to do. I know. I also feel similarly. But at the same time, regardless of how it happened, it's happened. And, you know, it's a bit like when you think of, I like to think of it in a similar way as, you know, let's say throughout the history of the Olympics, Steve Hanke, I'm looking at you because you're the one that might stop me halfway through this. There are accusations and in some cases founded accusations of doping, right? And part of me thinks, just let them do it. I want to fucking see how fast they can go with all the, you know. So whatever's happened here, charges or not, appeal ongoing, we will discuss as the facts emerge. Kind of like it, you know. I just want to see the best possible football team. That's what I want to see.
I feel
like this season I've seen one of the best possible football teams of all time. That is a separate thing from all of the ongoing context, and both can be true at the same time. What do you think about that, Steve Hanke?
I think it does have the possibility of an asterisk, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That is the thing. And I'm not sure they are wholly inseparable, but I think your point is valid. Because we have to say, the charges ongoing, City to deny the charges.
He's an Arsenal fan.
You know, City deny the charges.
Yeah, of course.
Man City deny the charges. That's the thing that we do have to say.
Yeah.
But the charges are there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see in the fullness of time where that goes.
Yeah, we will.
And that's pretty much all we probably can say before.
Sure.
I think it is worth mentioning at this point that we only ever talk about the teams for whom it works out. Right.
Right.
Which makes a degree of sense because, like, who cares if you cheat and you're shit at it? But
on the
other hand, I do feel as though this what's happened in the Premier League has been a slippery slope, right? Which is we found a league in which we try to get financial advantages,
yeah,
to invite people in who are going to put money into it in order to generate what is going to be a product which will be viewed by potentially billions of people.
Yes.
And the whole idea was, we want this to be a form of entertainment. We want the Premier League to be the best form of entertainment for football, and therefore encouraged people to spend money on it. And I just feel as though what we're at now is the sort of final end of that thin end of the wedge, right? Which is...
Because the counter to that argument, and I know you're not making that argument, but the counter to that would be to say, okay, well, you know, Man City have won the last five of the last six Premier Leagues, right? We're in dangerous territory here where it's quite fun and smug as a fan of the Premier League to point at others and say, well, look, Bayern have won 11 years in a row, PSG win every year, whatever. That's quite a fun thing to do. And it's clear why it's better in a league where that's not the case, right? But that argument that doesn't happen in the Premier League has been harder and harder to make over the last 5 years.
Can
you see any
Bayern
other team winning it next
Bayern
year?
Bayern may not win the Bundesliga this season.
Of course.
In which case...
But in the Premier
Bayern
League, can you see any
Bayern
team other than Man City winning
it? Bayern will have won five out of the
last
six, right? And if Man City have won this league, so they've won five out of the last six, that's exactly the same turn of events in the last 6 years.
Is there any scenario where they don't win it next season?
I think it's possible.
Yeah?
It's not possible. I just think this Man City team will be one of the best ever, in the same way that, like, the Chicago Bulls will be thought of that, and like the Red Sox.
The Chicago
back in the
Red
day.
Bulls,
The Chicago Red Bulls. I'm sorry about that, Chicago
Red
Bulls.
Red Bulls Salzburg.
But that's it. Like, it's
Michael the Wings
team.
Jordan.
You've got an incredibly well assembled squad that is managed basically perfectly with one of the best, if not the best manager of all time, or whatever you call it, right? And then amazing individual players who play as a team. So all the things you need of a functioning team are there, as opposed to simply individual stars. But they have one of those as well. Mm-hmm. So all the components of the best ever teams, like the Bulls had Michael Jordan, but like,
who else did they have?
Well, Phil Jackson always said it was Scottie Pippen that was the real key to that.
There you
players
go.
Like Dennis Rodman as well,
Dennis
very
Rodman.
Important.
Who were the other two?
Rodman, Pippen,
Larry Bird.
Get out of here.
I can't remember the names.
I've run out of
small, Pippen, short.
Oh, Iverson,
the shooting
Alan
guard.
Iverson.
Alan Iverson was not in. Alan Iverson. Ah, he's the Swedish Alan Iverson.
But then, like, you could say
Kobe
like,
Bryant.
No, stop saying random basketballers' names.
You know what I mean? The all best teams of all time. Right?
Of course.
Yeah. And they're the all
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, they're all there. All the lads. Anyway, I think this City team could be that. And all the stuff in the background, we'll see what happens with that, with charges and stuff. Adam Crafton, an interesting tweet talking about how the medals are being handed out to Man City players by the same organization, who are then trying to charge them of 115 separate.
This is what I was saying, is that the Premier League benefits from Manchester City being one of the best teams, if not the best team ever.
Does
right?
it though?
Yes, because the Premier League wants to present
the line?
A product.
Like surely the product is better when it's more competitive at the top.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is an aesthetic argument that we could have, but the way that they've determined that the league is going to be best is by having the most money in the league, so the best players go to the league, and et cetera, et cetera. So regardless of whatever side of the line we fall on with the aesthetics, that's the context that has been generated, I think. And the FFP regulations, which is what a lot of this comes down to, right, being thrown back, were originally designed to stop clubs from going out of business rather than clubs, manipulating them at the other end. I just think it's just it's so easy to be cut and dried and be like, Man City cheated, as though that doesn't have knock-on implications for every other club in English football, because the entanglement that goes all the way through the rest of English football is there, right? English football, yes, has dubiousness all the way running through it, but that started in 1992. It didn't start when a Middle Eastern Emirati decided to invest in a football club. And like, okay, well, it's bad. Like, there's lots of bad things. None of us are without sin. But I feel as though it's weird that we have ended up at this point where we feel as though the only way we can talk about this is by highlighting the worst example of it. And then everyone else sort of gets off scot-free.
I admire you, but I feel like that's an unpopular opinion.
Potentially, but I
you
feel
prepared
as though...
to have people upset with you in your tweets, in your Twitter?
I mean, people do get upset with me either way. But
I know.
They certainly do, yes.
I kind of feel as though where things started going wrong was when what happened in the early 90s was that the control was taken away from the fans and football clubs. And I say this all the time, but a football club was a group of people who had a vested interest in a team doing well for whatever reason, right? They all went to the same Sunday school, or they all were working at the same brewery or something. Mm. Those were clubs of people who came together in order to play football and to watch football. And I think in the 90s, rich people basically took control of those clubs and made them into, you know, they started that process whereby we could end up at this situation where, you know, states own football clubs, or rich, you know, oligarchs in Russia or rich American businessmen who can, they can come in and they can treat a football club like a product. And I feel as though absolutely we should have these arguments about what Man City have done and whether or not it's wrong, etc. But I feel as though the context is so much broader than just did Man City cheat to create the best football club in the world. And I don't know, as a football fan, and look, I'm part of the problem as well, right? Marcelo Bielsa gave his opening press conference to the as coach of the Uruguay national team. He said he's basically saying football is for the fans. You know, you should have a relationship between the players and the fans themselves. And there's groups of people in between those. You have the coaching staff, you have journalists, and you have owners and stuff. And he said all of those three groups are terrible because they actually, you know, they pull apart the relationship between that pure relationship between players and fans. Fans want to watch their players play for their club and do well, and I feel as though I'm part of the problem because I spend my time analysing this stuff and making it less pure. I don't know.
You're impurity. That's what you are.
I don't know. It's just if we're going to focus on the bad taste of one thing, we actually should.
Is this very eloquent whataboutery?
No, I think we should turn the light onto all of football and say there are things about every area of football now in the professional game.
Well, apparently Arsene Wenger was attributed as coining the phrase financial doping back in 2005. And he was talking about Chelsea specifically, and then later Man City and Real Madrid. Yeah. It's been around for a while, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Just thought I'd contribute to the conversation a bit.
Yeah, man.
I'm real smart.
You're a real smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was suggesting that there's no other financial doping.
No,
anything.
Of course.
I think, you know, I think some people are reasonably sort of, they think, well, you know, if in the world where, and of course Man City deny the charges, but in a world where they cheated, that's a bit unfair because maybe the other one didn't cheat and then it would be unfair. That's kind of it. I don't know how we express this.
Maybe this is enough to do it, but we have to be clear in terms of what's a moral objection to what is happening and what the actual rules as they are say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the context of this whole conversation, to sort of put a legally binding bow on it, the accusations against Man City are that the rules that do exist have been breached. Those are the accusations. Whether the rules that the Premier League have and have had should have been and should be tighter.
Yes.
Is an ongoing moral question, but we should That's make true. That distinction between what
He's
the actual laws are.
He's an Arsenal fan.
I obviously agree with that as well, but also it does feel as though like a lot of the financial rules have just sort of been bolted on as an afterthought, right? To be like, oh, we can't allow rampant expenditure.
What happens with it now is like 2025, something like 70% of your... that's what how much you spend on
of
wages.
Your body is water. Like. Oh.
No, that's right. In 2025, your body will be 70% water.
I think it
unless
is
Unless you're in a bath.
Unless you're in a bath. unless point, the bath has dropped through the floor, in which case...
it becomes 32.
Because obviously when you're falling, it changes the...
Well, when you fall generally, you turn into water.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so gravity
that's
works.
That's what waterfall means, right?
Exactly, yes. That's right.
Anyway, it's worth saying for listeners that this wasn't in our plan to talk about that. But based on the number of required legal interventions from producer Steve Hanke, you know, lots of people don't understand. You know, it's hard to talk about. It's hard to do it. So when you listen to not just us, but when you listen to other podcasts, or you read stuff, or whatever. If the place is big enough that they are theoretically exposed to being sued for libel, then just think twice before you leave a comment saying, you support everything that anyone bad has ever done because you didn't mention the thing that I fucking think. Oh, by the way, also, on the way out now, there's only three episodes left, isn't there? Not everything that people say has to reflect exactly what you think, you egocentric cretins. Good Lord. Not most of the TIFO listeners, I should be clear. And the TIFO listeners all deny the accusation. But I make it anyway. God damn it. Not TIFO listeners, but you know, a lot of people out there. You didn't say this thing. No. Fuck off. You know?
Do you know how this podcast is on the way out, yet your job does remain within the company?
Oh, that's true, isn't it? Yeah. One more thing I want to say, though, is that The Athletic haven't shut us down. I have seen those comments. But again, they're unfounded. I can understand why you, why one might think that, living in the 21st century and all. But it really is. I won't say our decision because JJ Oshek is ahead of me. But it really was my decision. No one's forced us to do this. So don't worry about it. And don't blame the poor people at The Athletic. Anyway, let's have a break now. And when we come back, I'm going to do some comments for you from last week. Mostly for you, some for you, but specifically at you. Yeah, John? Okay. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Yes, welcome back. What a lovely break that was. Now, there was some hard-hitting talk on last week's TIFO podcast. You were here, JJ. You remember. Yeah, you were here. Seb was here too. Yeah. It was all a whole thing. But that some things were said that the audience really responded to. And I'll start with a nice one for you, John.
I can't even remember what we talked about.
They
mostly
relate to the same thing. And I think when I start talking about it, you'll realize the seriousness of the situation, of what you've done. But I'll start with someone that supports your belief.
Okay.
This is from Tristan. Commented under the YouTube video. Tristan.
Great guy.
Last week. 100%. The Eagles could have just flown to Mount Doom. I agree, John. That's Tristan, yeah? I regret to inform you, Tristan is the only supporting voice for your opinion. Because Sam Willification says, what about the Nazgul? The archers defending Mordor? The ring's ability to corrupt powerful beings more quickly? The fact that the Eagles refuse to help anyway? I can't have this, Tristan. Yeah.
Right. So the thing, my response to
Luke
this
W says, yes, they would have been killed before they even got close to Mount Doom. Samuelification, a separate comment, says, shocked by John's use of tired, long debunked Lord of the Rings plot holes. Long debunked, right, okay. Says Samuelification. Thought better of him. Props to Joe for the staunch defense. Yeah.
Any more?
Yeah, there's plenty more. Arthur Ishwood Moat says, I can't be more on Joe's side about the matter of the Eagles. The diversion of Aragorn's last stand to preoccupy the Nazgul and therefore remove Sauron's deterrent of air combat is also pertinent. We all saw the Nazgul's mount. You saw it, JJ, didn't you?
I've not seen this.
The Nazgul's mount in Pelennor Fields at the Battle of Minas Tirith. You saw that one, yeah? And the dead marshes where Frodo and Sam and Gollum saw the Nazgul mount. Big dragon sort of thing, yeah? Do people honestly think that the massive lizard, now you're involved, now you're into it, yeah? A huge flying lizard, JJ. People really think that a huge flying lizard monster ridden by an undead spirit would have a hard time shredding up an eagle or two, yeah? Conveniently forgotten by many who preach the idea.
I didn't know about the giant lizard.
D. Night Walker.
I'm bored of this now if I'm entirely
the reason honest. They can't use the eagles is because the eagles are intelligent, sentient beings. These are all different theories, but they're all mixed up. It's a really crummy plan.
Can the eagles talk? Using intelligent, sentient beings to
They can't talk.
Achieve ends.
Unlike
the Hobbit, famously not intelligent, sentient beings.
So now, Callum Boland says, Frodo had the ring because it corrupts more powerful beings intensely. The whole point is that Frodo was one of the only characters that could resist the corruption of the ring. Very important point. So they couldn't just give it to the eagles. They couldn't just give it to the eagles, could they? You know. Anyway, Kesav Lakhotia, this one's a more general one, says, this podcast isn't good to hear now because there seems to be a lack of seriousness in the conversation, especially by Joe Devine. Despite you guys discontinuing the podcast, I wish it was a serious one and good quality, which is good because it will be football. Win.
Am I allowed? Have I got the right to reply to this?
To the Lord of the Rings bits?
Yes.
Yeah, go on then. Yeah, you can do that.
Okay. So my first point would be: one, Lord of the Rings is made up. It is a story. So So, like, if he wanted to, J.R.R. Tolkien could have just made the Eagles do that.
Such
right?
a bad argument.
Okay,
isn't
so that's point one.
Such an academic. Actually, I think nihilism exists. Nothing's real, so your meaning doesn't even matter.
No, I mean,
don't move the goalpost. Don't be a goalpost mover. The goalposts are where they are.
People say to me, you know, this
get
is
get out of my
true.
Garden.
Yeah, a lot of people say to me, get out of my garden.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I admit I was trotting out the tired old trope.
A plot hole.
Largely because I knew it would annoy people this much.
And it did. And now look, it's come back to annoy you, hasn't it?
It's not annoying me, no. But what
let's carry on.
In terms of the Eagles, I'm not bothered about the Eagles doing it. Send a different bird. Send a less majestic bird. Your argument.
Send a less majestic bird.
Send a less.
It's not my
send
argument.
Send a less intelligent sentient bird.
No, it was one
bird.
Of four arguments. That's just one
okay,
bit.
One
get
argument.
A giant fucking
right.
swan.
The hobbits have to do it because they can't get corrupted, right?
Wynn so says.
Send
on the
a
YouTube
really quick bird,
underneath.
Which is famously.
John has definitely said Schadenfreude on this podcast before. True. Yes, you have. No, you claimed you'd never said it before.
Receipts are over.
Here's a nice one from Dylan Blue. Nice to see Seb back. That's true.
That is nice.
With some actual adult behaviour and insight. Yeah. The other three are getting sillier and more in-jokey every week.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
And while they might be having fun among themselves...
We're not. Let me state to the record, we are not having fun.
It looks pretty stupid after a while.
Yeah.
It's probably for the best that they're ending this podcast, if that's the level they're pitching it at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm
that's
saying is.
Oh, no, there's one
all
more.
I'm saying is that hobbits are like the worst creatures that you're going to send. There's plenty of humble creatures who can make their way to Mount Doom that are much more mobile than hobbits.
Sauron's main goal was to find the ring. Yeah. He was convinced that he had to just wait out until someone was corrupted by it and they would, you know, bring the ring to him. Only a few could actually bend it to their will. That was his biggest fear. He was worried about that. So when this guy says, when Aragorn arrives at the gates of Mordor, Sauron believes Aragorn has the ring.
These characters are so one-dimensional.
Is Sauron the big eye? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
So how does it have a ring then?
Well, indeed, very confusing.
Where does it put
Have you ever
ring?
Heard of the Holy Spirit?
Indeed, I have heard of the Holy Spirit.
Have you heard of Jesus Christ?
I have heard of Jesus Christ.
What about God? Have you heard of God?
Indeed, I have heard. Yeah.
Have you heard
God.
About them? They're a holy trinity.
It's God the Father, you should technically say, because all three are technically God, according to them.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. They're all God. And how could they have a ring? But they do. Have you ever seen Jesus' ring?
That doesn't make sense.
No.
No?
Does he wear a ring?
So Dortmund might win the Bundesliga.
All I'm saying is... I think
that's why he emptied his lands and tried to kill everyone.
Why didn't Tolkien put Jesus in Lord of the Rings?
If they flew, because it's kind of Jesus-y. I mean, you
I
know,
bet he could fly.
Sort of like, you know,
he could have
like,
flown to Mount Doom and done whatever he did to Sauron.
He certainly would have walked over the marshes to get there. Water.
Maybe he could have stopped Sauron from being evil with love.
Do you think he would have done a better job?
Jesus?
Yeah.
Don't know. Someone's going to come across and tell me that... Jesus is the manifestation of Manwë, the original divine being in Lord of the Rings, and therefore he can't Manwë. Fight against Nazgûl because everyone knows that the deep, deep lore that no one's read states something. And
I like
it.
That
that's
idea,
it.
Though. Jesus is like a superstar, but on his trump card, weakness, Nazgûl.
Which is what basically is on the Eagles' trump card.
Yeah, it's 100% on the Eagles' trump card. That's
Nazgûl,
how it works, man.
Nazgûl beat everything, so...
What was the lizard?
The Nazgûl's mount. Let's talk about something else unbelievable now, because it turns out we're going into the final day of the season, JJ, the Bundesliga season. Yes. Borussia Dortmund leading the way. Now, what did you make of their performance over the weekend?
Pretty good, I thought. Bayern have been surprised that they've dropped so many points. I mean, I looked at a lot of Dortmund this year as well, you know, in a Tifo IRL video, which did not perform well. And so... It's interesting to that I saw the starting lineup for the game.
Uh-huh.
Before Sebastian Allier, they were not that great. Since Sebastian Allier has come back into the side after overcoming testicular cancer,
yes,
like mad props to Sebastian Allier.
Yeah,
that's a difficult thing to do. They have been much better, and I think if you look at the league table side by side, like before Allier's back and after, I think Bayern dropped to about third or fourth, and Dortmund are top with, I think it's, is it Leipzig below them? I can't remember. Anyway, basically, he's helped them with this massive like push towards...
Who do you think Augsburg's best player was?
Augsburg's best player? I'd have to say Engels.
That's true. Okay, that's actually true. And how many points did Borussia Dortmund have?
The most.
Yeah.
70, I think.
When JJ came into the room today, he said to me and John, when Steve Hanke wasn't listening, what did he say? What did you say, JJ?
I haven't watched any football this weekend.
And what did I say?
He went, fucking hell.
Then I said I was going to ask you difficult questions about it.
You've and I said, look how I win.
You have done quite a good job. But you've done a good job in that way where like you read an article and you think, that's good. And then like 5 minutes later, you go, I didn't say anything.
Well, that's what a lot of podcasts do.
I know. It's one of the reasons we need to end the show.
Yeah. Maybe they should have sent Sebastien Allaire with the ring to Mount Doom. Seeing
you think
as
he would have been better
great
than
guy.
An eagle?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what's on his trump card. Nazgul?
No, keep the bit going. Do more. I think that was a successful bit. I'm tired of the bit. Try more.
Try one more time.
Yeah, yeah, give it another go.
Who do I think is the best footballer to carry the ring to
that
Mount
one,
Doom?
That bit was a bit flat when it came in. You didn't get a laugh from the room. But just keep going to try and get another one.
I wasn't aiming to get a laugh.
Yeah. What were you trying to get?
I was aiming to have some sort of catharsis.
Did you feel it?
In this room, yes. I feel much better now.
Are there women hobbits?
Yeah. Hmm. Of course there are.
Wobbits.
Are there female wizards?
Witches.
I
don't know. There aren't any in the films. There are, I guess there are magical elves that also do magic that are women.
Mm.
But who could say?
So yeah, this would be the first time that Bayern haven't won the Bundesliga in like 11-12 season.
You notice how Steve's started to try to do my job? Now there's only 3 episodes left. He thinks I've lost it. I'm doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I know.
I'm doing it to upset him. Yeah. What was that, Steve? Say it again.
This would be...
I'm Steve Hanke. I want to leave the office at a reasonable time.
That's a good point. That is true, though, Steve Hank. That's very, very true. And this was exciting. I actually turned off the Chelsea-City game yesterday. Boring, already decided. I don't want to watch people lift a trophy. I want to watch people maybe lift a trophy. And, of course, Bayern Munich dropping on Saturday, dropping points against Leipzig. They went 1-0 up. And then Leipzig won 3-1. Big game, big results. Bayern fell apart a little bit. Borussia Dortmund played Augsburg on Sunday, John, with the possibility that if they won that game, they would be in the command position for the final day of the Bundesliga season, which is next week. I believe they play... Who do they play? Who's in the final game? You got it in the thing here?
Who are Bayern playing?
Oh, yeah. No, here we go. Bayern are away at Köln.
Köln.
And Dortmund are at home to Mainz. Mainz 0-5. It's very exciting, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you remember so that
it
bit
is possible. Hold on 1 second. Just let me wrap up because otherwise Steve will be upset. The overall point is that if Dortmund win their game next week, they will be the Bundesliga champions, and that hasn't happened for 11 years that any other team apart from Bayern has. Very exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, what's his name? Nagelsmann's done a very good job.
Right. Well, he's gone now, isn't he?
Do you know, I talked about this in a relatively recent podcast talking about how like VAR has changed a lot of things that maybe you just don't notice. And one of them is that game, I can't remember the team they lost to, but they had 2 penalties overturned. The same player was booked for diving and they were both definite penalties.
Right.
Which then meant Bayern lost that game. And that one game alone, which they would definitely have won because they were already winning, it was not for... It just never happens, right? If you don't get these penalties...
You think it was a good thing?
I think it's good, yeah, because it's VAR, fair. VAR, it's what should happen.
You made it sound like they should have got the penalties.
They did get the penalties. That's the whole point. I can't remember the team, sorry.
VAR overturned bad refereeing decisions.
Yeah, I wish I could remember who it was. It's really bad of me not to remember that. But there was 2 penalties where the player goes down and the referee immediately, without even thinking about it, books him, the same player, for diving 2 separate times.
You're talking about Bayern.
The team playing against Bayern.
Yes. No, but I just mean as opposed
as
to
a Bayern
Dortmund.
Team.
Yeah.
Because
overall, ultimately...
This was Leverkusen, wasn't it?
Leverkusen, was that what it was? Yeah,
ultimately,
okay.
It hasn't made any difference, right? Because they still don't have enough points to win.
Yes, it does. Because if Bayern had won that, they would have 3 extra points and they would be top.
But Bayern did win that.
They didn't. They lost.
But you said they got the penalties.
Leverkusen got the penalties.
Oh, that's so confusing.
So VAR works for the... Sorry, well, that's my fault then.
You've really confused me.
Well, that's my fault. But what I meant to say then, to try and do it better, not like an idiot, is that the lesser teams tend not to get the the decisions, I think, by referees, because it's lots of psychological factors, I think, play into given the big teams.
I'm not sure I would agree with that, just to make clear that's your...
Oh, that's my... That's one of, my
like,
opinion.
Your sort of theories.
I can't actually back it up. Yeah. Having watched a lot of Scottish football, I'm pretty sure it's right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and so Leverkusen managed to beat Bayern Munich in this game, and I strongly suspect from all the many, many football matches I've watched in the past that they would not have beaten them were it not for them getting those two penalties, which they were denied, and they were given a yellow card for simulation. That one game alone, that like VAR being in place,
the
might mean
maker.
That it's equal for Dortmund to be able to then beat Bayern. And sure, over time, it'll maybe balance out and people won't get their things, but just doing my little VAR defensive bit. And that's why it works for people who support smaller clubs, because you get a bit of fairness.
Yeah. No, it's good. I like it for that reason. John, should we talk about Edin Terzic, who is the Dortmund coach? Because also, I mean, it's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? We made a video about Dortmund at the very beginning of the season, where you talked about what they would have to do to win the Bundesliga. And your point within that video was that, A, they sort of need Bayern to fuck up, and they need to have an incredible season. Both of those things need to be true, right? And actually what happened is they were really rubbish for the whole first half of the season, and they just went on an incredible run.
Yeah, and look, Bayern have fucked this up. I've just looked through.
Yeah, yeah.
The last time, Bayern, if they win at the weekend, get 71 points total. Which is, they have, the last time they were that bad was in 2010-11 season, when they finished third in the league and they only got 65 points.
So, obviously, they play fewer games than the Premier League. There's only 18 teams in the Bundesliga. Yeah.
So, but that's, you know, it's been well over a decade since they performed as badly in terms of points.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in terms of what Edin Terzic has done, is that I think post World Cup is he's landed on a system that works quite nicely for Dortmund, which is they play in this sort of 4-4-1-1 ish shape, but in possession they drop Emre Can out of 4-1-4-1, I should say. So they're playing Emre Can as a pivot player, drop him into between the two centre backs, which allows them to push the full backs forward, and then they usually push, I think, Adeyemi into the front line as well. So they sort of end up in a 3-5-2 ish shape in possession, and that works quite nicely for them, because they are going to play quite transitional football, and so the ability to drop Emre Can out and give them a little bit of support for their fullbacks pushing forward allows them to be not turned over in defensive transition. They've also managed to get Julian Brandt playing quite a flexible role, moving around, pulling strings.
Do you think Julian Brandt's the most German-looking player currently playing?
Potentially.
He really, I mean, his hairstyle doesn't suit him.
You don't think so?
No, and it's very rare that I would say something like that. But I feel it strongly with Julian Brandt.
I would never make a comment on people who manage to have hair, so...
That's fair.
Yeah, the really nice transitional system. So in possession, it allows them to get the players into the areas they want them to get them into, but with the realisation that if they turn the ball over, they're well set up to defend that as well. And
yeah,
they've... I mean, I don't... It's hard to say they've been well worth the league title, because it does feel as though Bayern have had every opportunity to rescue it when they've stacked it on a number of occasions in the last few months. So,
well, like we said, they still have to get past Mainz on the final day.
They do,
But
surely
you would surely
Mainz,
think so.
Yeah, Mainz have had
ninth place. They won their most recent game, but a bit of a difficult run of form. Nothing to play for. No European contention possible. No relegation possible. Taking a look at the bottom of the Bundesliga table now, Hertha already relegated. Bless them, the Berlin boys, all the way down there. Schalke and Bochum are also in the relegation zones areas, but Augsburg, who obviously lost to Dortmund over the weekend, and Stuttgart still could possibly drop down there. So it's all going to be entertaining on the final day of the season. Lots to play for still in the Bundesliga.
Schalke are gone, aren't they? They can't make up that goal difference.
Schalke theoretically can get
out. There's another game.
Yeah, there's one more game.
There's one more game, but they're on 31 points, and then 14th place is Augsburg, and they're on 34.
Yeah, but 15th place is Stuttgart on 32. And that's not a relegation.
Oh, yes.
And also, I believe 16th is a playoff.
Yeah,
I've
managed to miss that entire
bit. Good interrupt, though. It's my favourite kind of interrupt, when you interrupt to correct, but you were wrong.
No, I wanted to ask. I didn't want to correct. I'm sorry if I came across that way. I just wanted to know.
Don't play it down now.
What to learn.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
You are the most uncurious about the Bundesliga man I've ever met in my life.
I really don't care.
You don't care at all.
Every
even
time,
when it's like literally the most interesting thing that happened this weekend. Yeah. You couldn't
every
give a
time
fuck.
We've said, let's talk about the Bundesliga this week, you've made a joke about Bayern winning it in the end. Which is quite funny.
Do you think they'll win it?
We tried to have Seb Stafford-Bloor here today. We had technical issues, unfortunately. But I'm particularly smug and delighted today because I've been saying to him for 8 weeks that what if we should think about Dortmund because what if? And he's like, no. Even the Bloor master didn't believe that Bayern.
I enjoyed watching him. I did my research for the Dortmund video and I watched a lot. And we got Dortmund.
They're a fun team because they're so transitional in a really transitional league, and they have good players who can transition. So
good.
You've also been on a bit of a tear with respect to getting predictions right, haven't you?
Tell you what, halfway through that game, the Dortmund game.
Halfway through, he's doing a lot of lifting here. It was like, what wasn't it, 20 minutes to go, and you were like,
no, it wasn't 20 minutes to go. There was over half an hour to go. Over half an hour to go. I guarantee you. And it was a red card, obviously, which had kind of for Augsburg, which kind of made the game harder for Dortmund to play anyway. Scored one goal. You made a reasonable comment, which was Dortmund are going to need more goals because Augsburg started to come out, and they were a little dangerous, you know. And I said, it's 3-0 for me, end of the game. And I was sitting there waiting. It was 2-0 all the way until 94 minutes. And I was thinking, John's going to be
home. That's the only reason you carried on
watching
that game,
John's
going
to be there waiting to text me saying, 3-0, did you say? And they scored in the death.
I think that is a very unfair characteristic of what I would have done in that situation.
Of course it is.
But you wouldn't have watched that game if you hadn't have said that they were going to win 3-0.
I was into it. I liked it. I like to watch games with players I don't really know. I watched Engels for the first time. Engels, JJ Bull's shout out there.
You're loving Engels instead, right?
I'm loving Engels instead. He's really cool. Tell me about Engels.
He's a young dude who plays for Augsburg.
His first competitive season, apparently.
Yeah.
Very exciting. You should watch him.
I did.
Yes.
And that's how I knew he was the best player.
Liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
It's correct, though, so you could prove otherwise.
Let's have another break now, and when we come back, we'll talk about a different relegation scrap.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Okay, Leicester play tonight, I think, as we're talking. So by the time this podcast goes out, you will know the result of that, and we will not know the result of that. So this could all be different, but...
They're playing Newcastle, aren't they?
They're playing Newcastle. They're probably not going to win. But anyway,
stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened. Now, Everton, of course, results from the weekend. Maybe we should start with West Ham Leeds, actually. Just very brief. It's a brief foray to West Ham Leeds there, John, because they weren't very good. I mean, they were okay in the first half, but, you know, that West Ham team weren't great.
I think that what we've seen from Leeds under Allardyce is that they come out quite intense in the first 15, 20 minutes. And the idea is to try and get a goal and then do enough to hang on to that goal. It hasn't worked.
It didn't work out.
But obviously against Newcastle, we got the early goal and then a penalty to go 2-0 up, which was missed. And then Newcastle got back into it. And the same was true we went 1-0 up against West Ham and then had a complete inability to control the ball at all. And in the Premier League now, you simply cannot hang on to games in that manner anymore because opposition, it was a West Ham who had won in the Europa Conference League
on
midweek.
Thursday night,
They'd obviously enjoyed themselves in celebration of that and then had only had one training session before facing Leeds, and they sort of
not to mention a lot of unrest at the stadium as well, right?
So like, who could forget Knowlesy?
Yeah. So it would have impacted the players as well, exactly. The club.
And yet they came out and looked much, you know, much fresher. They looked like they had much more of an idea of what they were doing.
Yeah.
They stayed patient even when Leeds did have a little bit of momentum in the first 20 minutes, but then they just sort of cruised home in the second part of that game. So, yeah,
West Ham very much looking like a lower half table Premier League team. Leeds looking a bit cooked, aren't they?
Yeah,
they've got Tottenham away or at home is the final game of the season.
Tottenham at home in the last game of the season.
And I mean, so Tottenham are absolutely crap, so anything could happen.
But we're in a situation now where all the Everton need is a draw, and then Leeds have to win by 3 goals or something like that, which isn't looking great.
Speaking of JJ Bull, Everton currently in 17th place, 33 points, 2 clear of the drop right now after a 1-1 draw with Wolverhampton Wanderers. Yerry Mina scoring a goal in 90+9. I mean, that's a terrific point for them.
For Everton?
Yes.
Yes. Well, Sean Dyche is the manager.
Why did you even come to work?
Well, I don't know. The relegation teams are kind of nuts. Like, nothing makes sense at the bottom.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
It does. Maybe the interesting thing to talk about is how the Premier League randomly...
Don't rescue him.
I'm rescuing him.
Okay.
I can get out of this.
Yeah, he's Mount Doom. I'm an eagle. It's all great. the Premier League randomly decided this weekend that they were going to do long... injury time numbers again. So this game went on for 10 minutes after it ended.
Same with Liverpool as well. Like 9 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. It seemed like a weird point of the season to be like, right, we're going to go back and try and do that again after we did it in the World Cup.
There's been a lot of criticism about time wasting recently.
I think they did that on purpose so they can choose who stays up. It's a conspiracy.
It's because you have clout, Joe.
I've got clout.
Yeah, you did that tweet about time wasting being boring.
Did I?
Yeah.
Don't remember. Was it good?
Yeah, it was one of your better ones.
Was it?
Yeah.
You can follow me at JM_divine on Twitter when I tweet once every 12 days.
Did Calvert-Lewin go off injured in this game?
No,
yes, he's done again.
He also went off
twice,
in the last game.
Past two games.
Injured. He went off injured twice.
Half time at Man City is a precaution for a tight groin.
Yeah. I got one of those.
Me too, actually. I've got an injury. Yeah, there's a chair incident last week. Did not help in that regard.
The chair incident tightened your groin.
Yeah,
tightened mine, you know, watching you fall.
Pain. Anyway, he also went off in the first half of the game against Wolves.
Oh, bless him. Okay.
He needs a summer off.
Patrick Bamford also went off injured. If we're talking about
eight nines
going injured. Rodrigo had a plantar fascia problem and played the last 20 minutes of the game hobbling around.
Yeah. What are you saying? The Leeds players are heroes.
Leeds players, they're heroes.
Also broken.
Give them the ring, send them to Mount Doom. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, send the Leeds players to Mount Doom.
No one
and let them plop in
them,
the lava of the championship.
Sauron would be like, oh, it's just Weston McKennie. Walk on right in.
Yeah, that's right. Now, also, Nottingham Forest won 0 Arsenal. That was an unexpected result, except it wasn't, because it's exactly the sort of result that you should expect. In the current circumstances. Lovely goal from Taiwo Aoniyi. Very impressive from Steve Cooper and the gang. All the gang down there at Nottingham Forest.
That's right.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they've had the perfect run-in for the end of the season.
They played Arsenal.
No, but as in, if you're going to play well at any point in the season as a relegation team, when best to do it than right at the end. And you mentioned Taiwo Aoniyi, and he's been absolutely fantastic for them. And we've just listed off a whole load of forwards who've been injured for clubs and made them worse going off. And Forrest have had a forward who's actually been able to lead the line for them, hold the ball up, get involved in link-up play, but also score the goals as well.
Gibbs White has been just so much better than I thought he was. I like it when I'm... get someone wrong like that.
I like it too.
Yeah, because normally I'm quite good at telling if they're good or not. It's one of the few things I think I'm quite good at in football. Is like
what are the other things?
That's probably it. And so then, he's been great though. Like, just a really tidy player. Does really important about how they play. I think that's the game before this one. He was giving the ball away quite a lot in dangerous situations. So you can tell he's definitely like learning when and where to be able to do the things he can do. But really dynamic, really quick. Clever feet, just a nice little player to have in. And that's made a big difference. Keylor Navas is really important. I've noticed that Serge Aurier has been quite good for them. Like a leader, he goes and has little chats with people all the time. There was a thing recently where Brennan Johnson should definitely have cut back the ball to the edge of the box rather than putting it across the box. This was in the previous game, not this Arsenal game. But like Johnson's making the wrong decision because he's a player who could be good if he gets decision-making stuff right. And then Aurier goes over and talks to him and explains like why. He's like, I can see what he's doing with sign language. He's saying that if he puts the ball across the near post, the defender's reading it, and they can slide in. But look at this guy who was at the edge of the box. That's where you should go. So we'll probably see Brennan Johnson doing that going forward.
Yeah. Okay, well, well done to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what really
Felipe's
annoys me?
A good player as well.
What?
That person said that hobbits are less corruptible, right? But no, Gollum is literally a hobbit who got corrupted by the ring.
Excuse me, Gollum is not a hobbit.
So all I'm saying is maybe there's an eagle out there no one knows about that's like really good at beating Nazgul, and it could have just done it.
Nonsense. All I'm saying,
interrupt me. What I'm saying is, Joseph, they
didn't
at least explore the option.
Hobbits are less corruptible because, as evidenced by the stories of the books and the films, hobbits are not less corruptible. Frodo is less corruptible.
Okay,
Frodo.
Well, let me introduce you to this. There's an eagle
Wood.
That you don't know about. It's called Barry. Really good against Nazgul.
Yeah.
He's
a top tier player against the Nazgul Mounts.
He's elite. Generational.
Well, it's a shame that you weren't around in the 50s to barge into Tolkien's shed and say, oh, you fucking prick. Get Barry in the book.
Get Barry.
Barry will sort it straight out.
Exactly.
By the way, if you don't
Barry
want any book to write or any royalties, and you want this to be a short story that doesn't stay in the hearts and minds of children all
across
the world.
I think you've arrived at the real truth there.
Yeah,
Joe,
that nothing matters. It's all meaningless, and an eagle can solve every problem.
I've tried reading that book about 5 times, and it just I get to the bit where they talk about the fireworks.
Don't
every
read
time.
The
I'm so bored.
Don't read the book. I used to live with my friend Richard, and he would. He listened to the Lord of the Rings audiobooks to go to sleep. He wasn't a huge Lord of the Rings fan. He just enjoyed. I can't remember which voice actor
was. Was it the BBC ones? Because they were really
who
good.
Who voiced them?
Ian Holm.
Holm does the voice. And so I would sit there listening, going to sleep. And through the wall, I'd hear the dulcet tones of Ian Holm singing a Hobbit song. You know, the number of songs in those books.
But is he now a genius? Because there's a state of sleep where you can, either a really creative state or a really. Potent like learning state or
right.
something like that.
Yeah.
So obviously, because you know I'm a scientist, this
you're
is
a
all
scientist.
Correct,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and we
course.
Should believe
and
everything
you sleep
I say
as well.
Well,
so you would know.
I try.
Because you sleep.
Yeah, I try to sleep, and then and so therefore he must then be able to know everything about all hobbits and goblins. And stuff.
I think it's possibly true. He does. He knows the name of every Game of Thrones character. Again, not a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Friend zone.
Just the kind. Yeah, friend zone. Yeah. Australian perv dad.
Dragon lady.
Yeah, dragon lady. All the big names.
Tree boy.
Tree boy, yeah. Oh, by the way, my best impersonation is of a Lord of the Rings character. Have you ever heard me impersonate Treebeard?
Oh, I thought it was going to be Gandalf.
I can do Gollum.
Treebeard. Hold on, I'll do Treebeard for you first. Gandalf's very... Gandalf, okay.
My Gandalf is all right.
Your Ian McKellen is pretty good.
Yeah.
But this is Treebeard. And Treebeard is a tree ent. He's the big tree.
He's an ent, not a tree.
Whatever.
They're the shepherds of the trees, I believe. And I hope everyone in the comments will upbraid you for that. Disgusting.
Borarum. Or I always feel like walking south is going downhill.
Yeah?
That's good, yeah. That's
pretty good.
Good.
Give us your Ian McKellen.
Shall I read
out? Gandalf.
Shall I read out the
I like
tweet?
The bit where he says, "All you know, it's not for you to fucking decide. All you've got to do is decide what to do with the time it's given to you, Frodo."
I'd watch it if it was that accent. Yeah.
I think that the solution to all our problems here are eagles. Send in the eagles.
That's very good. It's very good. What have you got?
Hello, I'm Gollum.
I hate your creepy voice.
Hello. I am so divine.
I hate it so.
Would you like to have a
I
bath?
I don't like it.
Bath, would you like my bath?
That's Yoda.
He's Gollum Yoda.
I can do Yoda better.
Yes, bath would you like? Yoda.
It's like Frank Oz voices, isn't it? It's easy.
Yeah. What about I like
Star Wars different?
Mr. Frodo. Oh, Mr. Frodo. Oh!
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Is that the lizard?
Yeah. I can also do Neil Young singing, but it's not for today, different time. Different
about
time.
Eagles?
I can do eagles, yeah.
Yeah.
The eagles. That eagle would definitely not make it. That sounds
this
like
is this is an eagle,
eagle
trying to get to Mount Doom just with noises. You ready? That's it. It's dead. It got killed by a Nazgul. And the Nazgul, do you know what the Nazgul sounds like?
No.
That's what the Nazgul sounds like.
What the hell? I can see why they won. With
that's the, it's the Nazgul's mount, not the Nazgul. Anyway, this is the end of the podcast. Now, the end of the TV football podcast.
We talked about two games. Oh no, we did a little bit.
We did loads of stuff. Yeah. We'll be back again next week. There's only two more studio episodes now. Only two more studio episodes to come. Pretty exciting. We've got some special treats in order.
Do we?
I don't know. We probably will do by the time we get there. Yeah. Now, listen, we'll be back next week, but thank you very kindly to JJ Bull, the Bullard.
Thank you.
Jonathan Dog McKenzie. There we go. Steve Hankey, thanks so much for today's podcast.
You're welcome, precious.
And, of course, the long-limbed Jamie, video producer. There he goes. His arms are up in the air there. Very long arms. They're all long. And legs. Now, until next week, au revoir, bienvenue, auf Wiedersehen, and tschüss, motherfuckers, eh?
What?
Athletic.